So I want to take a moment to introduce my friend here, the preacher of the hour. I mean, is this good or what?
Yeah, this is good.
Yeah.
Have to give him a little something.
Give him something. Yeah. Jason Fulham has been ordained several years. I hired him at my old church. How many years back? About 10 years?
10 years ago.
And was our youth pastor for many years and is currently, tell them quickly what you're doing now as you're in ministry.
Sure. I'm currently the Macomb director for Youth for Christ East Michigan. And what that means is I'm in schools, 16 schools in the Macomb County area. Plus, I have the honor of leading, along with Katie Handy, the students here at Mosaic on Wednesday nights.
So, yeah, woo-hoo. So he and Katie have been coming alongside, and we're really honored to have him most Wednesday nights speaking to our youth group, about 20 to 30 of them. That we get a good meal from Art and Joe Hoffman. Shout out to them each and every week. But Jason is also, you may not know this, but Jason is actually a member at Mosaic. His membership is here. He's an ordained Wesleyan minister. And so he's not here a lot because he's out traveling and speaking at a variety of churches. But when he has opportunities here, and then he and I have agreed that because of his engagement here, that he will speak for me at times. And today is one of those. And you're going to hear him in the next months here and there. So I think you're going to enjoy that to get a diversity between him, he and I. But why don't you give them another story? When you and I just hired you, and we were driving to a visit at a hospital, and I saw God's hand on you as it relates to speaking, and kind of give where that was going.
I love this. We were actually on our way to St. John on I-94 off of Maross, and in the Century, the silver Century of yours, it was a great car. I'll tell you about that later.
Old man's car.
Yeah, great car. We're driving there, and Mick, if you've ever had a conversation or had lunch with Mick, he'll give you that look, and there's that moment of silence before that look where you know what's coming, right? So we're driving, and, you know, as a youth pastor, I've been, I think, maybe a year, he said, you know, I really want you to think about starting to speak on Sunday mornings. And immediately I say, no. And, you know, Mick, he waited, kind of like a jump rope, right? He waited. We're driving a little bit further. He said, you know what? I really think you need to pray about it. Now, what are you going to say to that? He said, I really think you need to pray about it. And prayed about it and really heeded God telling him where I needed to go. And I'm enjoying it.
Well, here you are all these many years.
Yes.
God is using you as it relates to opening up his word and communicating to a variety of complexes and lots of different situations. But God has really blessed Jason. He's already spoken once or twice here before, but you're in for a treat today. Jason knows how to deliver his word. We're thrilled that he and Shelly and
it rolls off the tongue. Yeah. Jackson.
Jackson is a part of our church, and when they're here. And so I'm going to ask you to give a Mosaic welcome to Jason as he delivers the word this morning.
Well, Mosaic, I got to tell you, I'm excited. Anybody else excited?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to need some yes, it's okay. You can let go. The sun is outside. It's all right. So this morning, we're going to continue in this road to the cross, choosing love. Now, I got to say, I've been praying and just this entire week, God has really just been opening some new doors. And so I'm going to do diligence with our time. But man, there's just so much when it comes to love. So what I want you to do is if you could open up to John chapter 11. We're going to be looking at verses 33 through 44. John chapter 11, verses 33 through 44. Words will be behind me if you have your Bibles or your YouVersion. Keep it open, too, because I'm going to reference some other scriptures. Because when you're talking about love, I found just these 10 verses, we got to refer back to some things. So John chapter 11 is where we're going to be and looking at verses 33 through 44. When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. "Where have you put him?" he asked them, talking about Lazarus. They told him, "Lord, come and see." Verse 35, then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, "See how much he loved him." But some said, "This man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying?" Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb. A cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. "Roll the stone aside," Jesus told them. Sidebar. Does that sound familiar to anybody in here? Just saying. Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb. A cave with a stone rolled across his entrance. Again, he said, roll the stone aside. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested. Lord, he has been dead for days. The smell will be terrible. Verse 40, Jesus responded, didn't I tell you, you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here, so that they will believe you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. And God, as we just talk a little bit about love, God, I pray right now that you would just guide my words, that we would be able to receive this word this morning, Lord. Thank you for another opportunity just to praise your name and your son. We pray, God's people said,
amen.
God's people said,
amen.
Let me tell you something. When you choose love, it's going to be all right. Somebody needs to say amen. When you choose love, it's going to be all right. Now, I got to tell you, as a dad of a 2.5-year-old, I've learned a lot about loving, okay? Now, of course, I love my son, but I've learned a lot, and those of you who are parents will relate. Those of you who are kids should relate because you were once kids under your parents. Follow me? I have to learn, and now, especially at this age with my son, potty training. Pray for me, y'all. My son is the expert of telling me that he has to go potty after he's gone potty. Anybody else been there? I've had to love, though, but I still love my son. Tantrums. Now, I've heard of the terrible twos, but y'all didn't warn me. I have to love him, though. I still love my son. Realizing, and some of you are there with your kids, your grandkids, your nieces, nephews, realizing my son is growing up. I looked at him the other day. I'm like, who is this little toddler that used to be this little guy? Looking ahead, the first day of preschool, pastoring a teen, the first day of college, the love is still there. Their wedding day, where did the time go? Grandchildren, got this vision of Shelly and I sitting on the porch. She's just looking as regal and beautiful as she always does. I'm just some old crotchety old man with no teeth sitting there and watching my son and my grandchildren playing. Now, let me throw this out to you when it comes to love. Those images, even if we aren't there or we don't have children running around, those images conjure a smile, don't they? When we think of how awesome it is and how awesome those moments are. Unconditional love is the evidence of a transformed life. You see, when our life is transformed, we don't have a problem with loving. When we say, you know what, I'm about Jesus, I'm about God, then we understand this. Now, we look in John 11. I want you to follow with me, because when it comes to love, there's a lot of emotion, right? Right? And you know the movies try to get it right, but honestly, when you truly love someone, there's just a lot of emotion. And if you look at all of John chapter 11, and I don't have time to go there entirely, but there's a lot of emotion, even in those 10 verses I just read. A lot. For you have the story with these sisters and their brother Lazarus, and obviously he passes away, and that's where we pick up the story. But I want to go back a little further. Can you go back with me? Oh my gosh, where is it? Verse 4. But when Jesus heard about it, said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, that the Son of God would receive glory from this. That's verse, go back to verse 3 in chapter 11. So Lazarus, Jesus knew Lazarus was sick. And he says to the sisters, listen to me. He's not going to be sick for long. But their faith somewhere between verse 3 and verse 33 changed. Follow what I'm saying? Something happened. And Jesus, it said, even if you go a little further down, He waited out in the village while this whole interplay took place. And when we open up in verse 33, it says he was really troubled. He was really bothered. And in fact, I've looked up different variations in different scripture. The word angry is used, and we don't get, it really means troubled. Because you might say to yourself, verse 33, why was Jesus angry? You see, when it comes to love, there's a lot of emotion. And as we go into this time of year, the Easter season, you know what's so awesome, guys? You know what's so amazing to me? The cross never gets old. Let me qualify that. Follow me. The story of the cross never gets old. You hear me? You see, we let it get old. We, it's another. But I got to tell you, Mick knows this. Anytime I get to come and deliver the word, it's like Super Bowl Sunday all again, and the Lions are winning. I said the Lions are winning. We can hope. I was getting there, Mick. I was getting there. Compassion. So Jesus comes into verse 33 and he is compassionate. He's saying, oh my goodness, do you ladies not remember what I told you in verse 3? I said that this sickness would not last. And now that Lazarus has died, they were freaking out. Let's be totally honest. And they said, oh, okay, you know, they're bringing Jesus in. And then we get into verse 35 where it said, Jesus wept. I got to tell you, that was the prayer I memorized as a kid. Anybody else there? Some of y'all, I'm not alone. Thank you, Jesus. I used to say, when we come to mealtime, I say, Jesus wept. Amen. When you're 2, it's cool. When you're 22, not so much. You got to learn a little more, right? Follow me? But Jesus wept. And many scholars, and over the year, many people have wondered, why did he cry? Why? And it didn't say just cry. He wept. Okay? Wept means, just utter agony, just weeping. Well, see, and you know, there are many schools of thought. The majority of what I've read says, you know, he wept for their unfaith. He wept that they didn't remember verse 3 when he said, listen, he's going to be okay. The road to love, unconditional love, is the evidence of a transformed life. How do we define love in 2017? Here's a couple of things. I just threw it down. God gave them to me. I just jotted them down. This is how we define there's love in our households. Having the good towels in the bathroom when people come over. Yeah, some of y'all, you're guilty. I don't know why we have to have good towels. You just use the towel, right? Pray for me. Having the house clean and all of our knickknacks in order. My wife is so awesome. I love her. She likes every picture to like, and I don't even know. Like, the picture would be like this crooked, and she's like, it's crooked. I'm like, no, it's not. She gets the leveler because my wife is handy that way, and sure enough, it's crooked. So we define love in our homes as being that. Lots of food. We're going to have a potluck today. Mick, yes. I smell it now. Some of y'all like my stomach growling. I got to eat. Yeah, we'll get there. I'm going to preach pretty quick. All right. But lots of food. When at its heart, love is shown by the time we spend with one another. You ever had that conversation with somebody you've been longing to have? That conversation with that family member? I tell parents all the time who have students, when you get them in the car, that's a great time. Some of y'all got them here today on the way. What was Pastor Jason talking about today? What'd you think? And then they want to put their earbuds in and not talk. Just have them screenshot you. They'll be all right. But that love that we see in our society is based on material things. And what God is telling us this morning is, listen, come to me. Come to me and you will find rest. We just worship together, and I hope you caught the link between each and every worship song. It wasn't about so much how good you can sing, and I know we have some great singers out there. I'm not one of them. I try. Know what I'm saying? But as you think, I'm no longer a slave to fear, for I'm a child. Come on, church. Yeah. That means, wait, walk with me. That means when you walk out there, you can come down them steps like this. Right out there. That means when you walk out there, you can say, I am no longer a slave of fear because I've got the love of God in my life. The love. This world needs more love. For years, I worked at the Detroit Medical Center right across the Harper Hospital. Every time I come down here, I think about it. And God was just giving me this visual when I was leaving youth group on Wednesday night. I said, you know what? When people are sick, they go to the hospital. When people are lost, they come to Jesus. Amen. Come on now. When people are sick, you go to the hospital. When people don't have love, you come to Jesus. But the world gets it twisted. It says, you know what? There's just no love. God help us to be a church that always loves everybody who walks through those doors. Some of you are sitting here merely because somebody shook your hand as people walked in, and you're like, man, there's something different here. And it's not just the building, it's the heart. And when the people of God have embraced that heart, you will set the world on fire. You hear me? You will set the world on fire. People will be over at Comerica Park like, what's going on down at that church? People will be over at Ford Field like, what, wait a minute. They're singing a song called Rooftops. What's that about? Where's your heart? And is your heart trenched in love? Matthew 6, 1 through 4, you don't have to turn there now. But it tells us, it says, hey, listen, don't practice your righteousness in front of others. Do it for my glory. Now, it's very interesting as Jesus comes into this story in verse 33, as he comes into a drama that's already playing out. And I love that last week you talked about mercy and the importance of mercy. But let me tell you something, we've got to have love. And some of you, tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock is going to be the toughest test because you got to go to work, right? And that guy or that girl's hanging out at the coffee pot again. And you ask them how the weekend's going, who's to say? You ask them how the kids doing, who's to say? I don't know. You ask them, did you have a great time with your family? There's no love. And maybe, possibly, let's put it out there, that person just needs you to stop and say, how are you really doing? I love that. How's your family really going? And you know, if they want to dump and just kind of complain, you got to give them the light of Christ. See, Jesus knew what he was walking into. And we as Christians have to be the same way. We've got to know what we're walking into, and we need to be praying. You better believe all the whole drive here, I'm praying. What am I praying for? I'm praying for the word of God to strike people anew. Because some of you say, oh, I've heard the story of Lazarus. We did that when we were in vacation Bible school. We did, and that's wonderful and great, but you got to make it new. And I say it again, that cross never gets old. Because it was on that tree that my Savior died for me. Anybody else there? It was on that tree. And with all the power, he could have stepped down off that cross. But he loved me so much. He loved all of us so much. He said, you know what? I'm going to do it for you. That says a lot. That says a lot. And you know what that does? Think about that. That gives us the ability to do what we just did here, worship. That gives us the ability to come and kneel at the altar and say, God, I need help. That was my prayer October 16, 2000, in case you want to know. I knelt beside my bed, not with a group of people. I knelt beside my bed and said, God, I need to know your love. I need help. And let me tell you something, church, God met with me, and no one could tell me anything different. Anybody else been there? Amen. Have you been there? When you were at your lowest of lows and God met with you. When you didn't know the answer and God met with you. That's what it's about. That's the love of our Savior, in case you didn't know. That's the love that died on that tree. So here we are. The Lord told him, come and see. Verse 35, then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, see how much he loved him. But some said, this man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have saved Lazarus from dying? Don't you just love when people try to call Jesus out? Don't you just love that? You got oh my gosh, it's that the one person, oh, you know, he's really emotional about losing his friend. And then you got that other person doing the Thomas. If you were here the week I preached about Thomas, here's a look right here. That's the look. Thomas gave him the look, and here comes this guy giving him the look. He says, couldn't he have saved him from dying? He was healing blind man right down the street. What's this? He's supposed to be the Son of God. Called him out. You know, Jesus is just that cool. I bet you Jesus was just like, whew, here we go. Knowing what's coming. And I love that he can step in our lives and do stuff like that. I love that he can step in our lives and radically change everything around. Let me tell you something, church. Some of you are sitting here this morning and you're nowhere near the person you were 5 years ago. Praise God. Anybody there? Yeah. And you know what? You know what's so cool about that? That's the love of God. That's choosing the love. That's choosing to say, I want to be a child of God. I'm not a slave to fear. And here's this guy sitting right here saying, listen. He healed blind man. What'd that song say? Our enemies will rise up. Our enemies will rise up against us. But God has the victory. And we see it right here. He wept. And people were trying to call him out. There was conversation going. He looks to the sisters and says, okay, well, take me to him. Take me to him. I want to see him. Immediately, in the humanness of themselves, they said, well, he's going to smell really bad, Jesus. It's not going to smell good, Jesus. He's been there a long time, Jesus. Jesus said, take me to him anyway. That's the love that's not built up in material things, but the love that goes for the heart. Growing up, I had a neighbor that lived next to my grandmother, Mrs. Walker. Mrs. Walker was one of the most amazing ladies growing up, but she was that lady. Some of y'all know the kind I'm talking about. Don't get on my grass. Know what I'm talking about? I remember getting up in the morning, Saturday morning in particular, and she would be walking through with a pair of scissors or on her knees, clipping, edging her grass because the edger just didn't get it close enough. You follow me? See what type of person I'm talking about? She loved that. She had tremendous, and I remember as a kid, I was like deathly afraid of this woman. And on that one instance that I actually sauntered on her grass, or I really didn't. Let me tell you, I really didn't. But it looked like I did. You ever been there, kids? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Where it looks like you did something, but you really didn't. But okay, I was at the edge. And literally from her raised window, she yells out, get off my grass. Deathly afraid of this woman. She loved that house, loved that grass. And I remember my grandmother used to invite her to church. She never had time for church. Until she dealt with some physical situations, she started to come to church. And all of a sudden, as I grew up and the years went by, that house that was so meticulously manicured, that grass that was just right the way, the rose bushes that were, I remember they were just gorgeous during the springtime, they were just so manicured, they began to become overgrown. And a couple of months back, I was over there and I looked at the house and it doesn't even look like it used to. Weeds all over the place. The house is actually abandoned now. And I thought to myself, God, help me to never put my worth in material things. Help me to put my worth in where you are sending me. Help me to put my worth in what your plans are for me. In youth, a couple of weeks back, we had an opportunity to write down on a piece of toilet paper. They'll remember this because it got kind of messy. All those things that hold us back from being the men and women that God has called us to be. They wrote them down, and I had two green bowls, and afterwards, after they wrote them down, they put tore off the toilet paper and put them in the green bowls, and I watched as those things just dissolved away. And I pointed out to someone, said, look at it now. All the words are like merged together. You can't even tell what you wrote. That's what God does for us. When we choose that path of love, God says, you know what, I want to wash your sins away. As far as from east to west. You follow me? No, we get it, right, church? We get it. We say, okay, God has saved me. But what about that person that you sit next to at work? What about that person that you sit next to at school that desperately needs the word of God? They don't even know it. We're living in such a cynical world. Come on, world. Come on, church. Such a cynical world that says, you know what? Nobody loves anymore. And when you show love, oh, my gosh, you're like some sort of superhero or something. Right? I had an instance, some of you, I've shared this before, some of you may remember it, but it really strikes me. I was at Meijer this one night, this was several years ago, and there was a lady who had a little guy, he had to be about 6 or 7 years old, and he had kind of a developmental disability, so look, minor autism, something like that, and his name was Brian, and Brian wanted something. You been there? So I'm standing in line, I just went to get milk and juice, and I'm standing in line, she's a few steps ahead of me. I stepped back a few steps just to give her some space, because she was obviously struggling with him, and he kept crying, and he was just throwing a full-on tantrum. And I remember connecting eyes with the cashier, and you know, she kind of did the eye roll, like this has happened before, that sort of thing. Took a couple of steps back, and finally, she, like, oh my, it just tore my heart. She tugged his arm in such a way, and it just got me, and I finally took a couple of steps forward, and I said, ma'am, just take your time. It's okay. You know this woman got mad at me? Right? Pray for me, y'all. I was like, really? I'm giving you space. And she looked at the cashier and she said, this happens every time I bring Brian here. And like, pulled him out of there. And I went up to the register and, you know, me and the cashier had already connected. And I'm like, what was that? She's like, every time she comes here, it's the same thing. But I wanted to show kindness. I wanted to show love. I realized situations. And church, our job is not to be the answer for every situation. Our job is to provide the love. And sometimes that's just a smile. I know it's hard because your face kind of goes like this, but yes, you can do it. Sometimes it's just smiling and saying, you know what? I don't really know what your situation is. I don't even know what you're dealing with, but I'm here. What's so amazing, and I love coming to the table of communion as we will in a few minutes, coming to the table and sharing as one family. Jesus did that with his disciples. We just do what he did. He said, do this in remembrance of me. I love how when you open up the scripture to Lazarus, that journey to the cross is so right there. He's telling them, listen, I'm getting ready to go die for you. In fact, I wonder with those two sisters, when Jesus was buried in that tomb and when the stories went out about his resurrection, I wonder if they thought about their brother. The fact that he was in a tomb too, with a stone rolled in front of it. I find that fairly interesting. I could almost think Jesus maybe had a little smile on his face saying, you guys, you just gotta listen. The mercy is there. I have mercy on you, and I'm gonna do this because I love you. But again, in our world today, 2017 America, love is on short supply. Love is on short supply. God help us to never, never lose sight of our love, not only for our Savior, but our brother and sister. Got to tell you, I hear a lot of stories about Detroit, and no matter how many times you cut it, it'll always be home to me. And I can remember Cass, what it used to look like. Anybody else been there? I remember Cass. And now I drive up and I'm like, man, God is moving. But let's not lose God. Yeah, you're doing great buildings and all that's great, but don't lose God. And there are moments when I leave here on a Wednesday night that I look up at the wonderful building that God has given us, and I see the lights, and I say, God, let us not only be a physical light in this neighborhood, but let us be a spiritual light. You follow what I'm saying, church? Let us be a spiritual light for all those riding by that they would say, man, if I need to get close to God, maybe I need to stop in. The sacrifice. I love how Jesus said what he said out loud. Follow me, I'm almost done. Stay with me. He said what he said out loud. Could he have called Lazarus out with just a gesture, a bat of his eye? Absolutely. But he said what he said out loud. Don't miss it. Love it. Why? He showed him. He said, everybody's over here murmuring. Some are lifting me up. Some are tearing me down. There's just a lot of chaos. But you know what? Bam. Lazarus, come forth. I went King James on y'all, just in case you missed that. Lazarus, come forth. And it said he came out, and I love, love, love how the verse ends. Unwrap him and let him go. Take the grave clothes off and let him go. That moment, that October fall evening in 2000, when I accepted Jesus as my Savior, I was ready to go. I didn't know where I was going either. I was working down at the hospital, and I can remember, and every time I come down this way, I think about just that time, that day after I got saved. I had to go to work. I was working 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. as a hospital sitter, and I remember going into the bathroom on the third floor. 3 green was the floor, and I looked in the mirror, and for the first time in my life, I felt myself smile and really mean it. And that was the joy of God in my life. I felt myself smile, and I said, you know what? Guess what? Guess what, church? And maybe some of y'all need to hear this, hashtag it on Twitter later. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. When you got the love of the Savior in your life, it's going to be okay. You hear all the doom and the gloom on the news? It's going to be okay. You're worried about your kids. Sidebar, I'm going to step out for a second because the Holy Spirit telling me to, so I got to do it. Stay with me here. We worry about the next generation, and God has put that on my heart to minister to the next generation. But parents, moms, dads, aunts, uncles, grandparents, it's your job too. It's your job. You say, I don't have no kids. There's a bunch of them over there. There's a bunch of them in this room. Start praying. Start praying. Because they need to know the love of God. I find it interesting that oftentimes when I want to meet with a student, they always think they're in trouble. I'm the least intimidating guy in the world. Ask Nathaniel, right? He got me. Yeah, I got you. And they'll say, well, what did I do? You didn't do anything. I just want to tell you, you can have the love of God. God will radically change your life. Pastor Mick had a group of, was there four of them down in Tennessee this last little bit? Man, I was on Facebook Live watching, and there was a moment where Mick was backstage, and there was that image, and I saw those four young men standing on that stage, and it brought tears to my eyes because I said, that's what it's about. It's about them going and loving the world. In spite of what people will say, loving the world and saying, you know what? You need Jesus. You need the Savior. So Jesus said, unwrap Lazarus and let him go. Because now it begins. Now the journey begins. And in the next couple of weeks, we will unfold that journey to the cross, culminating in Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. Doesn't get old, church. And if it's gotten old to you, make it new again. If it's gotten, oh, you know, it's another Easter, you know what, get in your word. Start reading. I'm telling you, just reading these 10 verses, God has totally just flipped around my whole, I've heard the story of Lazarus most of my life, and I'm like, man, God, this is such an amazing time where you knew what was coming. You explained it once in verse 3, and here they are in verse 33, asking again. What are our takeaways? What does God, and where does God want us to go with this? Verse 44, unwrap him and let him go. Give you a little story as I prepare to close. I'm going to have the worship team come up in just a second. On a warm summer night, I was driving a crowded van of youth from one destination to another. And if you've ever driven with more than one, there's a smell. I was tired, they were tired. When students get tired, they act a little bit different, right? They get grumpy and they start snapping back at you. You're like, I didn't do anything to you. But okay, we're driving back. One statement was made that silenced them all, brought tears to my eyes. From the back of that van, last seat, three, right by the window. PJ, I believe God is calling me, and these were the words that were used, to love the city of Detroit. Now, amidst all the chaos in that van, how I heard that, only God knows. But I heard it, looked in my rearview mirror, and after we stopped for gas, I got out and I said, did I hear you right? That student said, absolutely. I said, what is God speaking to you? I need to have more love. So church, as we prepare for communion, that's my question to you. Do you need more love? Do you need the love that was displayed to a man named Lazarus? We all need more of Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, God, I thank you. And as we prepare our hearts to come to the table this morning, I ask right now, Lord, no matter what's going on in our lives, that you would silence our hearts. And God, you would help us to see your perfect love. Scripture says perfect love casts out all fear. We sang about it. So God, I ask right now, on behalf of all my brothers and sisters, that you would allow us this moment to truly focus on you, to truly focus on the sacrifice that you made for each and every one of us. Quiet our hearts, God. Prepare our hearts. The name that is above all names, the name that gives power, courage, and conviction, Jesus the Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank God.
Amen.